Blog Talk Radio.
I hear them niggas talking, they ain't tripping, they just hating on me. Fuck with Davion. I know them niggas plotting on me, they don't wanna see me make it, rather see me gone.
You know them niggas hating when they all up in your face, cause they ain't making what you making it all. Know them niggas hating when you all up on these bitches and these bitches just taking it out.
I be on the next level shit. 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 Fuck with they be on, got the money making bitch, and she gon' bring it home. That's that next level shit. I be on the next level shit. Yeah, you niggas know about me, since the snitching on me. Tell your girl about me, the hottest nigga under the sun. Tell the world about me, I'ma be good in a minute. Tell them don't worry about me, them haters want me to fail. Now my friends doubt me, you niggas saying you the hottest, but I can't tell. There's no answer for this young nigga voicemail. And I'ma fuck the game, they say sex sells. My girl fly, pretty wings, no Maxwell. It's Lone Star, the hottest ever, nobody better. The flow cold, you gon' need your jacket and your sweater. Pick a letter, I'm a G till I D-I-E. Not a bad boy, but a nigga doing B-I-G.
I hear them niggas talking, they ain't tripping, they just hating on me. Fuck with Davion. I know them niggas plotting on me, they don't wanna see me make it, rather see me gone.
Know them niggas hating when they all up in your face, cause they ain't making what you making it all. You know them niggas hating when you all up on these bitches and these bitches just taking it all.
I be on the next level shit. 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 Fuck what they be on, got the money making bitch, and she gon' bring it home. That's that next level shit. I be on the next level shit. Waking up to the money, I never slept better. Feel like if you got money, pussy a little wetter. Never complain about the rain, I ball in any weather. Mama said never look down, just keep your head up, son. Well, I listen, plus you always seem to mention. When I start getting these riches, these niggas would get the switching on me. Damn, these niggas came up missing on me. Now they can't see me without supervision or permission only. I'm on the road to success without a map. Guess I find my own way, eyes open for the trap. You can rush me if you want, I'm blocking you on staff. You can diss me if you want, I ain't sending no warning back. Blah, blah, blah.
I hear them niggas talking, they ain't tripping, they just hating on me. Fuck with Davion. I know them niggas plotting on me, they don't wanna see me make it, rather see me gone.
You know them niggas hating when they all up in your face, cause they ain't making what you making it all. You know them niggas hating when you all up on these bitches and these bitches just taking it out.
I be on the next level shit. 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 Fuck what they be on, got the money making bitch, and she gon' bring it home. That's that next level shit. I be on the next level shit.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. This is a Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones, and not knowing if my co-host, Martin C., is here tonight or not, but I will ask to see. Are you here tonight, Martin?
I am here.
Oh, I'm surprised. Well, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm glad to be back. You know, I was on the, in baseball terms, you say I was on the disabled list for a while, but you know, I'm back off the injured reserve, and I'm back strong, and I'm glad to be back. Thank you for checking on me also.
All right, say that part again, because you were kind of like fading in and fading out.
Okay, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
I'm just saying that I'm glad to be back, and, you know, I'm feeling strong and feeling good right about now. So I'm glad to be back.
Okay, it's good to have you back. I'm quite sure our listeners who have heard you before are of a like mindset. So, okay, so I was told by Angela that we're not going to have the usual Dollhouse announcements tonight. So we're going to go right on into the show. And if you're not aware of the topics, if you hadn't read them there, our first topic is going to be, well, tentatively, let me say it like that, is going to be Black Lives Matter. And then the second topic is going to be, what is homophobia in the context of the word slash definition? In other words, what is homophobia in the context of the word or the definition of the word homophobia? And then the third topic that I had come up with was the topic of denial, just like that. But then again, even I also want to say before I go further, right now tonight, I don't know how I'm coming over the line, but right now tonight I'm on my cell phone. I just came to realize that my house phone has gone down on me. It was working today because I had made a call on it earlier today. Long story there, but I did. But I went to call in, and the thing, it was just nothing, no dial tone, no nothing. But praise be, I got the cell phone, the backup, so I hope that I'm coming over well to be heard well. Can you hear me well, Martin?
You sound good, man.
Okay, good. So anyway, as I said, those are going to be our main topics, but then again, also a lot is and has been going on throughout the week. And a lot of news has been coming up. And before we go into our main topics, I wanted to touch on some of these side issues, so to speak. They could just as well have been topics, but more so these will be side issues. And one of those is in reference to the, what do they call these people? The asylum seekers that are fleeing out of Syria. And situation, yes, and the situation in particular was that little child that was seen lying face down and having been drowned because of the situation that he and his family found themselves in. And in reference to that, I was on Facebook, and one of my Facebook friends, this Dr. Stacey Patton, she had posted something about that that newspaper over there in France, Charlie Hebdo. You might recall that magazine, the one that had been shot up, or more so people were killed in that news agency because, as was said, the offensive publications that they were publishing about Islam and the Prophet Muhammad. And now it's saying that these people are up in the news again, this very same magazine, because it, in a real sense, was making fun of this dead child. Had you heard about that?
Yes, I did hear about that, James. I thought it was in bad taste. I thought it was extremely offensive. But even though saying that, you know, I found, you know, making fun of that situation was disgusting.
I
should have the right to print it.
But again, I mean, we're back on that that situation of freedom of speech, which is a necessary freedom. But at the same time, I mean, with this freedom of speech, with any kind of freedom, in my opinion, I guess other people do differ from what I'm going to say now, but with any kind of freedom, there must be some responsibility that goes along with that freedom, and or one must be responsible with any freedom that they do have, and not just take that freedom as a license or just as something granted and just, you know, run amok or run havoc with it.
Would you disagree with that? I think that you're right. There has to be some responsibility in a free market of ideas and even a free market of commerce. If people don't like what Charlie Hebdo is saying, they can write letters in to the editor. They can stop supporting it. They can stop buying it. They can boycott anybody who is an advertiser for Charlie Hebdo. We have all those avenues. But what I don't think that we want to be in a situation of is saying who has the right to say what. Because depending on who's in power, that can be very dangerous, because then you get who is to say what's offensive? I think that freedom of speech is very important, but I don't think you have a right to not be offended. I don't think you have a right to not be offended. I think in this, especially in these politically correct days, James, I think that a lot of people need to put on their big boy pants. They need to suck it up, and they need to basically accept the fact that, guess what? Sometimes you may be offended by something. Oh, well, did you die?
But you know what? Just to push back on that, listening to what you were saying and like how you were saying it, something that came to my mind as a rebuttal to that was that you saying that, you know, a person don't have the right to not be offended. Well, then take it a step further. Isn't that like saying a person don't have the right to not be bullied?
No, bullying and being offended are two different things. Bullying is where somebody is seeking out to belittle you, to harass you, to do that. But my thing is this, bullying is an individual thing. Anybody can be offended by anything. Any group can be offended by anybody. It's not like somebody is saying, okay, I'm going to name everybody who's Hispanic before I do my offense. That's not what's happening. Charlie Hebdo is not putting every Muslim's name in their paper and saying, okay, we are going to specifically harass you.
Well,
their comments may offend a lot of people, a large number of people, but guess what?
I'm listening to what you're saying, but I find it interesting that you can reason on that line of logic? It's a kind of logic, but yes, there's a word for that. You might disagree or you might be offended by this. They call that specious reasoning in a real sense, because going back into what I said about that's on the same level as saying that a person don't have the right to not be bullied. But then you came back with that's on the individual level. That might be true, but then again, that bullying can be taken to a group level or situation as well. And then again, when we take that even further, we can bring in, let's say, armed forces, be they United States armed forces, be they British armed forces, be they French armed forces, in the sense of going into a smaller country that don't have the type armed forces that those countries I just named have. They are small and not as armed and therefore not as powerful. That armed, more powerful country just bullies them. So you see, it goes from individual to group to mass. It's like that. However, in saying that, I will say, having said that, I will say it like this further to further clarify what I'm saying. In terms of being responsible with one's freedom, as I had just said there. So if the individual is thinking correctly and he or she expands out into a group that's also thinking correctly, there's no problem there. However, if the individual is not thinking correctly and expands out into a group that's also not thinking correctly, there you have problems. Because the individual is an individual, but however, an individual does not exist in a vacuum. There are other individuals around that individual, which, and hence, possibility has to, ever be present. But okay, I see that. Because we kind of disagree on that thing about, I guess, even freedom of speech there. But going to the article here, but again, we got about a minute left before our first break. But I'll just say it right here that the article is entitled Charlie Hebdo Mocks the Death of Syrian Child, and they even give his name. It looks like Alon Kurdi. And it says here that while newspapers across the world have paid tribute to Alon Kurdi, the Syrian toddler who became the symbol of the refugee crisis, Charlie Hebdo has featured cartoons of the toddler mocking his death. So, okay, we're going to have our first break now. It's 50 minutes to the hour. We're going to hear Jasmine Sullivan with her song entitled Brand New. This is Jasmine Sullivan, Brand New. We'll be right back.
If I had a dime for every new Twitter rap stream, and all the girls would be riding, working two jobs, but the boys at home making mixtapes, put a Don't Disturb on the door now. Then I buy cheap dress every Friday, cause I go to every show on the weekends, and I gotta look good when I'm repping. Yeah, he about to sign a deal, he about to go.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morel's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard the song Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. That is, we just heard a song from Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. Okay, we're going back into this article that I was coming to or reading to Charlie Hebdo, and them in a real sense just mocking the death or making fun even of this a child that's dead. Anyway, the article goes further to say that 8 months after the terroristic attack that hit its headquarters in Paris in January, the French satirical magazine is back to the spotlight with a new controversial set of cartoons. Hiding behind the freedom of speech, Charlie Hebdo made fun of the death of Aliyan Kurdi, that small child, who was found dead recently on a Turkish beach. The cartoon, so the article goes, says it was entitled So Close to His Goal. The first drawing features Aileen laying face down on the sand near a publicity board of a 2-for-1 McDonald's Happy Meal, saying what translates into two children for the price of one. So that's what they're saying there. It was really, really just tasteless. I mean, and then again, it's worse than tasteless. It just shows, in my opinion, it just shows a lack of consideration for that child's humanity, or even for the humanity of those people. That's what I think it does, because it shows, I mean, the way the article just said, it shows the child, the cartoon representation of a child, dead child, lying face down, drowned, dead, and above him, a caption, a billboard, saying, so close to his goal, and then having it say that the billboard read, 2-for-1 McDonald's Happy Meal, two children menus for the price of one. Just outrageous, outrageous. And it goes further to say that the second cartoon is entitled Proof That Europe Is Christian. It shows a little child drowning. Well, it's saying here that the picture here shows the little child drowning in the waters. On the left side, a man, supposedly Jesus, stands on the water while saying, Christians walk on water. Muslim kids sink. So let me read that again. It says that the second cartoon is entitled The Proof That Europe is Christian. It shows a little child drowning in the waters. On the left side, a man, supposedly Jesus, stands on the water while saying, Christians walk on water. Muslim kids sink. I mean, how disrespectful can one be? And then again, as the article started out, the article had even said that these people are hiding behind freedom of speech. I mean, and I like the way that was put. They're hiding behind the concept of freedom of speech to write like that. But one can very well know that if it was their child, any of their childs, any of those people who work in that magazine headquarters, that magazine area, any other people who work for that magazine, anyone knows that if it was their child, they wouldn't write nothing like that. They wouldn't feel like that to write nothing like that. It's just outrageous, outrageous. And then further, as I had said, a Facebook friend of mine, this Dr. Stacey Patton, she had mentioned that in one of her Facebook posts, and was not publication. And what happened was she got a notification from Facebook telling her that they took her comment down because it was too distasteful. So get that. So much for freedom of speech, freedom of expression. But I guess people could post what Charlie Hebdo posted all over Facebook, and it stood. It wasn't taken down. But yet this Dr. Stacey Patton, in replying to that depiction, and not in favor of it, but critiquing it, her posts were taken down. Facebook sent her a message telling her that that's not, how can I put it, that like that doesn't fit the parameters in which Facebook, you know, revolves around. And just ridiculous. Well, they didn't use those words, but in essence, that's what they were saying. Just outrageous. So it's okay to be offensive, but it's not okay to critique offensiveness. That's what Facebook, in a sense, was telling this Dr. Stacey Patton. So that's that article. And then there's I also wanted to touch on that clown. I call him a clown, and he is a clown. That I can't think of the name right now, but that the guy who formerly was all hot and heavy about if President Obama was an American or not, if he was born in Hawaii or in Kenya, Donald Trump. I had set that up so that clown's name would evolve into my brain. But yes, Donald Trump. We all heard about him and his not his remarks initially, but I'm sure that we've heard about his remarks, the situation. But you heard about that as well, correct, Martin? Hello, Martin? I guess he may have dropped off. I hope I'm still being heard. I don't know. But okay. Yes, I see that my phone is still on, and therefore I guess I am still being heard. But as I was saying, I was going into the Donald Trump thing. The way this story goes is that he was at some town hall meeting somewhere, just as John McCain had been formerly when he was running against President Obama. And evidently, in this town hall meeting, some person got up. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe this person, he could have been a plant. A plant in the sense of, you know, someone out to I don't want to use the word destroy because I don't like using those kind of words in this kind of realm, the political realm, so to speak, because there's nobody really being destroyed. But I guess in a real sense, to detract from Trump's popularity, perhaps this guy was a plant. I mean, that's the best case scenario, as opposed to this guy really being that idiotic to stand up and say that President Obama, number one, is a Muslim, and secondly, that President Obama isn't an American. And as we know, that all falls back on what Trump was saying a year or two ago when he and others were so hot and heavy about him producing his birth certificate to prove where he was born. They came up with a name for those kind of people. They call them birthers. That's B-I-R-T-H-E-R-S, birthers, and therefore the birther movement. So anyway, this clown, plant or not, or just an idiot, is going to stand up and say that to Donald Trump, and asking Donald Trump also, isn't it time to start getting rid of Muslims here in this country? Primarily also saying that if one is Muslim, they are therefore a terrorist. Or in other words, if one believes in the religion of Islam, they are more so prone to terrorism than not. And the reason why Donald Trump really took a lot of flack from that was because he didn't push back or refute what that guy had said in reference to President Obama in particular, saying that President Obama wasn't an American, and then secondly, that he was a Muslim. I mean, even John McCain. So I guess we can say that John McCain does have more intelligence. Well, matter of fact, I think that anybody has more intelligence than a Donald Trump. I really do. And like to me, well, before I digress here, let me write down that thought that I was going to have. Okay, concerning Donald Trump, John McCain. I got to write that down. John McCain. All right, as I'm saying, concerning Donald Trump now. That falls back into something that I've always said for the longest. And then also, I more so got this impression back during the days when I was in what was called addiction. Sometime in the future, I'll have a show on that, about addiction, and that may be in reference to the marijuana legislation that's being pushed throughout the country. But what I came to say a long time ago based on that situation was that with a lot of people, just because they have money, somehow, some way, they assume themselves intelligent. In other words, it's not school, it's not actual learning that makes a person intelligent to the kind of person I'm talking about, like Donald Trump, but just by the mere fact of him having money, having had the, I'll say, opportunity, regardless of what that opportunity was, just because he had the opportunity to acquire money, wealth, he assumes himself intelligent. I mean, I came to see that among people that I happen to have been around. And in a real sense, a lot of those guys, those drug dealers that I dealt with, they were dumb as dirt. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that, but yes, they were more so than not dumb as dirt. All right, because they had money, and, well, I'll leave it like that, because they had money, they felt that they knew something. They felt that they were intelligent. I mean, honestly, they really did. And that's just how I do, in fact, see Donald Trump. And to me, it's just amazing that people, that our news media gives this clown so much air, well, so much exposure. It's just amazing to me. But then again, I understand why they do that. I really do understand why they do that. And that understanding in itself, for me, is highly depressing. It's highly depressing because it also revolves back to and around the reason why our country is in the state or shape that it is in, primarily because of ignorance, primarily also because of greed, because people who do make money and do have money, they think they know something about something. But in essence, all they really know about is what? Getting money. That's all they care about is getting money. And it's not even really that they know how to get money, but it's the things that they do to get money, which in more cases than not are most unsavory. And in a lot of cases, illegal. That's another issue. But coming back to what I was saying, but first, Martin, are you back with us? He's not back with us yet. But going back into what I was saying about Donald Trump and at this town hall gathering that he had and that guy who stood up and asked him that question, what I want to say is that even when John McCain was running for president, John McCain even had the wherewithal, the mental wherewithal, I'll say, to respond to some woman who stood up and asked him a question. And in her question, she had stated that Barack Obama was an Arab. She had said some words, and then she said, he's an Arab. Statement and question together. And like McCain at least did say to her, no, he's not an Arab. He had to tell her that he's an American, even told her that, you know, he's a family man, he's a good person in essence, but John McCain indeed, so McCain said, just happened to be fundamentally at odds concerning the way in which they want this country to go. But again, at least John McCain, you got to give him credit for that. I mean, belated credit that he did say that no, he's not an Arab. But the thing is, where did this woman get the perception that Barack Obama was an Arab in the first place? I mean, you know, we can also say that there is this phrase that's making its rounds by the supposedly intelligent that perception is reality. I disagree with that statement also, that perception, or more so that mental construction also, I disagree with that. But case in point, to this woman, to this woman who stood up and said that Barack Obama was an Arab, to her, that's her reality. Somehow or another, that's what she perceived. So in her mind, so to her, her perception is her reality. And hence, which caused her to put that question forward to John McCain. And then now coming back to this other clown, Donald Trump, and then that other clown who stood up and said that, one, as I said, that Barack Obama wasn't an American, and then secondly, that Barack Obama was a Muslim. In his case, perception is reality. Somehow or another, he has the perception that Barack Obama isn't an American, and that's his perception. That's his reality. That's his mental reality. Where it comes from, who knows? Because it's not reality. It's not real. But that's his perception. And then him saying that Barack Obama is a Muslim, where? Barack Obama never considered himself a Muslim. In anything that I heard him say concerning religion, he's a Christian. He was even in Reverend Wright's church, that guy who took so much flack for having having been critical in one of his sermons that was broadcasted about America and its foreign policy more so. He was in that guy's church. And that wasn't a Christian church. Well, my mistake, that wasn't a Muslim mosque. That was, in fact, a church. But again, here this guy is in his, no doubt, perception is reality thinking. I mean, it's nothing else. But then again, also, that can just as well go back to that article that I just had come out of about these Charlie Hebdo people, that magazine. What is their perception on reality? For them to have conjured up in their minds the, how can I put it, to have conjured up in their minds the, I'll just use the word, the wherewithal to advertise or put out there what they did with those, with both those captions about that small child that drowned. We can only but guess what their perception in terms of reality is or isn't. We know that it isn't something good, and we can only know that it is something that's totally disarranged. Totally disarranged. Just outrageous. Just totally outrageous. But Donald Trump, I mean, in a real sense, I watch less news in this day because of him. Really, because he's all over the news. I mean, they just give him publicity, and I just can't take it. I mean, it, to me, it's on the same level as maybe listening to a Rush Limbaugh, which is something I don't do. Also, can't do it. I can't take I'm the kind of person that I really can't take of ignorance and doing it, especially offensive ignorance. I really can't. I'd rather be away from it. I really would. I really would rather be away from it, you know, just so. And it don't make sense to even, you know, try to refute what one of those people are talking about, because you just can't do it. It's almost like, you know, talking religion, or how can I say, it's almost like arguing religion to, how can I put it, it's almost like arguing against religion to someone who is religious. Well, you can do it, but it's going nowhere. It's circular. It's totally a circular conversation. I mean, it's going nowhere. Then again, also, something else was the same thing about Barack Obama being a Muslim, primarily based upon that ignorant SOB's comments. They even got Ben Carson, you know, the black guy, the Republican black guy that's out there also, the one who's a neurosurgeon, a brain surgeon. But again, even in this case, this again goes to show that now this shows something different concerning this guy, Ben Carson. This shows something different than what I said about Donald Trump and money. That some people, just because they have money, they have wealth, they assume themselves intelligent, primarily because they got money, as if it takes intelligence to get money, which is not true at all. It's not true. As quiet as it's kept. So anyway, with this guy, Ben Carson, being a neurosurgeon, one would think that he is intelligent. And because we're hearing what we're hearing now, one would think that he would be intelligent. But evidently, he is not. But having said that, I'll say this in terms of the same thing but different. I mean, just because a person is proficient, I'll use the word, yes, just because a person is proficient in doing something, that doesn't mean that they are just as proficient in doing something else. I'll use a basic example for that. Okay, a car mechanic knows all about what goes on under the hood of a car, knows all about all those valves and those pipes. I don't know nothing about those things. I'm kidding. But anyway, you got guys who know all about that. They can just listen to the sound of the way your car cranks up and can tell you just what's wrong. Or if they can't tell what's wrong there, they feel around in there and unhook this and, you know, screw this valve, and they can tell you what's wrong. But yet when it comes to, let's say, dealing with things outside of their sphere of car mechanics, they really know nothing. Well, it's wrong to say that they really know nothing, But I will put it this way, it's better that they listen to someone else about things that don't pertain to the mechanical field. I think that's a better way to put it. Yes. And with this guy, Ben Carson, case in point, another case in point, he's no doubt adept at what he has done in the neurosurgery field. But outside that field, he would be better to listen to someone else, and even better to let someone do what he thinks he can do outside the neurosurgeon field. But alas, because he's a neurosurgeon, he thinks he knows everything, which is evidently not true. Now, I'm saying all that because of that idiot at Donald Trump's townhouse meeting asked that question or put forward the question about President Obama being a Muslim. And then now the question was put to Ben Carson about a possible Muslim president. You see where we got? I mean, whoever thought about that previously, that a Muslim might one day be a president of this country? No one. No one. But anyway, but see what ignorance can stir up, can brew up? And again, this is why I don't watch the news today. I didn't even watch the Republican national debate, although I heard that they had some like 8 million viewers, or was it 80 million viewers? Well, whatever. I wasn't one of them. I'm not quite sure there were a lot of other people in this country who weren't one of those 8 or 80 million. No. So anyway, again, Martin, are you back yet? Okay, so let me go on and let me make sure that I can be heard. Let me make sure that my phone is still on. Just a second. Yes, I see my time is still running. My time is still running. Because like I said, my landline, it conked out on me. I mean, wow, which means I got to buy another one now. Anyway, this article says here that appearing on Meet the Press, retired neurosurgeon and GOP presidential candidate Ben Carson said that the faith of a potential president of the United States matters and that he couldn't see having a Muslim president. But in a real sense, I mean, being that question has been brought up, I'll put it this way. I guess, as I had mentioned on Facebook, I guess Ben Carson never heard what the late president John F. Kennedy had said when he was running for president concerning the religious pronouncements of any potential candidate of this country. President Kennedy had said that it's irrelevant. What is relevant is what this person plans to do for America and the American people. That is what should have relevancy, not what God he or she might pray to. That should be irrelevant. So as I'm saying, I guess Ben Carson never heard what John F. Kennedy said. I guess he was too stuck in his neurosurgeon books to have heard what John F. Kennedy had to say about that. So the article goes further to say that referring to GOP front runner Donald Trump's town hall confrontation with an anti-Muslim bigot, there was no confrontation there. But that's what this article says. It says that the host of the show that Carson was on asked him, should a president's faith matter? And then Carson responded by saying, I guess it depends on what that faith is. If it is inconsistent with the values and principles of America, then of course it should matter. But I guess to him, I guess Islam is inconsistent with the values and principles of America. I would disagree with that. And then this guy, Todd, had asked, do you believe that Islam, he said that, do you believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution? Ben Carson said, no, I do not. I will not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not. And one, what makes him think that Islam is inconsistent with the Constitution? Or that Islam is at odds with the Constitution? Because in a real sense, Islam is only a religion, just as Christianity is a religion, just as Buddhism is a religion, or for that matter, just as any religion or faith is practiced by its practitioners. It's just that, just a faith that they go by. Outrageous. So let's see what else he said here. Okay, that's about all that I do see that he said. So you see, like I said, a whole lot be going on in the news, but unfortunately, in this day, I don't look forward to seeing it. And I guess further, once Donald Trump stopped being headlined in the news, or just in the news, period, that's when I'll start back watching the news on the regular, because I used to, well, somewhat look forward to getting up and getting up before going to work and watching about an hour's news before I start my trek to the workplace. And while I'm drinking my coffee, watching the news, I used to like that, but not anymore. I can't stand it. I really can't. But alas, as we always know, like I always say, nothing lasts forever. It never did, and it never will. So Donald Trump soon won't be here. And considering him making it to the presidency, FOH. That's what I'll say to that, FOH. And those of us who know what that means, we know what that means. Anyway, so going on into another article. Actually, like I said earlier, I was going to no doubt shuffle these articles around, because actually I have forgotten to mention one article that I had meant to have gotten into last week. And that was the article, well, that was the topic, are mothers beating their sons a cause for their sons to mistreat girls and women after that fact? That's not how I had labeled the topic last week, but in essence, that's what I was asking. And I got this topic from my Facebook friend, this Dr. Stacy Patton. She had written an article entitled, "Are Black Mothers Beating Their Sons Into Misogyny?" Misogyny is that's that word that that pertains to a hatred for or of women. So the title of her article was, "Are Black Mothers Beating Their Sons Into Misogyny?" Just from the start, I would say no. I don't think that would be the case. But then again, too, I would have to say yes and no. Why yes and no? It's because we all are the same, but at the same time, we all are different. And by having said that, I will say that no doubt some males, some boys, because of having been beat, because she's talking about mothers here, yet let's use mothers and not fathers, exactly. And then again, as we know, a lot of times, I don't want to necessarily say in black communities, because the same thing takes place in white communities as well, wherein the mother ends up raising the child isn't there. That happens in the white community as well as in the black community, as quiet as it's kept. So as I was saying, I mean, that can be so with some guys who are whooped or whipped as children. And as they grow, they could take out their frustration that has been put into them by their mother because of the whoopings or whippings that she has given them, take on an inner resentment against women, against girls. That could be true. And who knows? There are, well, because one can think like that, there could be other variables in there too. I had just thought this thought, that is that it could be true. It's probably more true than not true. But again, that's for some. We can never just really generalize and throw everyone in the same pot, because again, we all are the same, but we all are different, and vice versa. We're all different, but we all are the same. And in saying that, I wanted to come back to saying or talking into those variables, that variable situation. Some guys, as I said, might grow up with a resentment toward women and therefore seek to abuse them as they have been abused by their mother who is a woman. And also, we could also consider that some guys, they may grow up to not want to be involved with a woman on an intimate basis. And if that's the case, they might feel better being involved with a man, another man, on an intimate basis than with a woman. That variable there, based upon what Dr. Patton wrote, could also be a variable in this situation. But albeit, she didn't go there. She just more so stuck on the situation that could arise from mothers whooping their sons. But it is an interesting article. I will say that. I had read it, and I liked it, her logic in this. Matter of fact, I like reading what she writes and has written, because it's different, but that's another issue there. But anyway, I'll even read out some of the stuff that she had put in this article. She has said, but also, as she starts out, she's talking personally about the movie Straight Out of Compton. She starts off from that point. She says that the fact that some members of the group beat women, she's meaning talking about NWA, particularly Dr. Dre, is ignored by the film, even as their brand was heavily defined by blatantly misogynistic lyrics. So she's talking now about, she spoke there about how it came out after the movie came out, about how Dr. Dre a lot of times interacted with women whom he knew or women whom he had been with. And a lot of people were, I guess, not pleased that portion of NWA's existence wasn't part of the movie. How they didn't like the fact that was just omitted, as if, again, you know, women were slighted, you know, just pushed in the background, wherein that issue should have been there too. Well, maybe so, maybe not. You know, but again, even there, I can understand where she and others are coming from and even, you know, talking like that. And the article goes further to say that according to the Los Angeles Times, the omission of NWA's troubled history with women, from their violent lyrics to actual and alleged incidents of physical assault, combined with the way female characters in the movie are portrayed, has provoked angry responses. Some are calling out Compton for perpetuating the misogyny in the group's music. Well, I guess that's there like that. You know, anti-woman lyrics, you know, but, well, what do you call it, anti-woman lyrics? I mean, people who talk like that, they're talking in terms of, you know, how the rappers today refer to women as, as bitches and hoes, and then also they talk in terms of, you know, what they might, they talk in the raps how they will treat a woman. And then, like, I mean, they also come from the perspective that young people listening to stuff like that, hearing that, they assume that that's the way you're supposed to be. I mean, they look up to these guys and they say, well, hey, Dr. Dre and his rap said he bitch slapped this hoe. They might say, how do you bitch slap a hoe? And then some little kids say, this is how you do it. And they might even tell some little girl to stand up. And, you know, she's little and listen to the music, too. I mean, I'm talking about it like this because no doubt this is the way it is, too. I mean, they're a little group. I mean, children, little children. We were all children at one point in time. We all know, if we remember, I remember, And, you know, say, well, how do you bitch slap a hoe? And they say, all right, stand up. And Belinda stands up. Kapow! That's how you bitch slap a hoe. I mean, Belinda's all hurt now. I mean, shit, she didn't think that was going to happen like that. You know, but she know now. It's not funny, but I kind of chuckle there. But if Belinda is about her P's and Q's, she slapped that MF right back and tell him, well, this how you bitch slap a nigga. I mean, how do you say it like that? But yeah, anyway, we're going to go into our next news break right now, and I'm waiting now, all right? We're not going to have that break right now, okay? So I'm going to go on and continue with this article here. So, and it also says that Dr. Dre, I guess after the fact, after the movie and all of the pushback or flack or criticism that he got because of the movie and because he didn't put women in the movie and, you know, showing how he treated women, he offered an apology. It says that Dre formally apologized for some instances of violence against women. I mean, that's all well and good, I guess. But then again, if he's still doing that now, I mean, that don't really mean nothing. He apologized, I mean, you know, in front of a microphone, and as soon as he leaves the microphone, he go right back and, you know, slaps the microphone or just mistreats some other woman, which is not good. But anyway, so basically, Dr. Patton would say that in a real sense, Dr. Dre was this way because he himself was abused as a child by his mother, slapped around by his mother. His mother was violent toward him, and based upon that kind of resentment, because remember, I mean, most guys wouldn't dare hit mom back. Most guys wouldn't. As we know, there are some guys who would and who did, and unfortunately, who will, because it's an ongoing process. I mean, like history, past, present, and future, they're all connected. It's true, as quiet as it's kept. So as I'm saying, well, matter of fact, Dr. Patton, I myself have not seen the movie, and like I said before, I no doubt will not see it unless it comes on Netflix, because I'm not going out there to pay no money for that movie. And then again, like I said, and as I know, for a person like myself, it's somewhat dangerous out there in those streets, which does not mean I don't go out there, but I go out there in a real sense as less as possible, because I'm really, really aware of the way it is out there and in the presence of other people who may not be of the same mindset that I am of. They may be of the mindset wherein they don't mind just disrespecting me just because it's me, but I don't play that. So I try to help the situation by not being out there like that. Then again, especially being around a lot of people. I mean, it's one of those situations. I'm just aware like that. It is what it is and isn't what it isn't. But anyway, Ms. Patton, Dr. Patton goes on to say that there's much that could be said about the refusal to include these incidents, especially given the film's effort to spotlight the group's struggle with success and stardom and police harassment that is dealing with the group's history. She's talking about the group's history, struggle with success, with success and stardom, and the police harassment, which they were the constant victims of, or his willingness to uncannily represent black women as voiceless. That was another critique of the Straight Out of Compton. A lot of people, well, black women in particular, they really felt that black women in that movie were basically pushed to the back of the bus. You know, they were there, but only in form. In other words, their bodies were there. They were just just bodies. I mean, they really had no role in the movie other than just their visual presence, like stage props in a sense, like a chair, you know, an ornament, something like that. But you know, giving it intellect? No. They're saying that that's what was lacking in that movie, Straight Out of Compton. And again, that goes back into what the article is talking about, does black women beating their sons lead to them later on to mistreat and disrespect and just have no consideration for girls and women. But also then she gets into the crux of the article, I'd say, when she says that but there's another overlooked dimension of the violence that people don't talk about. Some of these men grow up to be beat. No. She says that, but there's another overlooked dimension of the violence that people don't talk about. Some of these men grow up to beat women because their mothers beat them. Yes and no. And then she illustrates how, well, she depicts how there's a scene in the film where Dr. Dre's mom slaps the daylights out of him for mouthing off. And in fact, the film represents the abusive act in a positive light. See, Miss Patton, Dr. Patton, she's also a child advocate. She's one who basically advocates against children being abused, children being beat. She advocates against that because she herself, I have the good fortune. Well, I can say good fortune, but it was a good book, but it was a horrible book. I mean, the things that girl, that woman, as a young girl, as a child, went through because of an abusive adult. I say an abusive adult because, according to her book, she grew up in foster care. And the person who was in charge of her was her foster parent, who was, oh, man, if you think that that person and that witch in Hansel and Gretel was bad, oh, man, at least she just tried to eat those children. You know what I'm saying? But Miss Patton wrote concerning how she was brought up, just awful. Matter of fact, the book is called Those Mean Old Yesterdays by Dr. Stacy Patton. It's a horrible but a great read. I mean, if you want insight into why she is now a child advocate and also advocates against parental abuse of their children. Did I say that right? Parental abuse of their children, parents abusing their children by supposedly beating them with whatever switch, belt, snitching cord, coat hanger, whatever. She advocates against any of that, and no doubt her upbringing is a big cause of that, and God bless her for that, honestly. Anyway, so she goes on to say, but also, she spoke about how in that movie, again, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm going off what Dr. Patton is saying here. She says that, like, in that movie, in a certain scene, Dr. Dre's mother, per the movie, has slapped the daylights out of him. You know, a black mother hitting her son, well, a mother hitting her son like that in her mind in the hopes of correcting his behavior. Now, when I read that in her article, in this article, I also recall having seen The Butler. That movie came on Netflix. It came out first in the theater. I didn't go see it then. I hadn't planned to, but it came on Netflix, and I had Netflix, so I watched it. I didn't like it at all. It was horrible. But long story there. But anyway, in that movie, if anyone had seen that movie, we might recall how in that movie, Oprah Winfrey, who was in the movie, she slapped the daylight out of her son in that movie, because in her mind, he had in some way disrespected her husband. And she slapped the daylights out of him. I thought, damn, wow. Well, but anyway, having read that from her article, that automatically popped in my head. And then again, it does in fact give further credence to what she says is a cultural and or historical pattern with black women or with black people, for that matter, of thinking that they have to, or we have to, beat our children to make them act properly, or beat our children so that society won't do to them what it will do if we don't beat them into submission, beat them into Well, just that, beat them into submission and or acceptance and or maybe even cowardice. I don't know. But according to what she's saying, it's better to let the child grow naturally. Grow naturally into a natural functioning human being. And well, I'm not going to read the whole article because from what I heard, she don't necessarily like that because she writes a lot of articles, and I have heard that she don't really like for people to read their articles in whatever venue they may have to be in. So I'm not going to read her whole article because I respect her like that. But one thing that that I realized in reading her article, she wrote about, she had said that she had like 12 males that she interviewed, you know, about their upbringing. And these 12 males all, maybe except one, I could be wrong, but in essence, the majority did say that their being beat by their mother did have a negative impact on did cause them to have a negative perception of women as they went forward in life, as they evolved in life. One guy even said that it's because of the beating that his mother gave him that he don't date black women, that he don't date women of his race. He said because in a real sense, they all remind him of his mother. But it's another issue there. But that's what one of her respondents to her survey said. And there was another respondent to her survey who had said that his mother would curse him out and curse at him like a sailor. And anybody who know that a sailor can curse. Because, well, me myself haven't been in the military, not in the Navy, but in the Army. They, if you don't know how to curse when you go in there, you will know how to curse when you come out of there, believe me. It's like that. It's just like that. They teach you the language of profanity in there, I guess I can say that. But in saying that, what I just said there, and somewhat digress, but one of her respondents had talked about how his mother would curse at him viciously, and beat him, also. Call him all those, you know, those vile names and, you know, tell him he's never going to be nothing, but like more so curse at him. You know, use profanity on him, call him a stupid-ass motherfucking, you know, all kind of those kind of words. But anyway, and having said that, what I realized, I mean, because reading does this people when they read, and if they have an understanding or connection with what they're reading. What I realized in reading that was something about my mother, and that was that one thing my mother never did, as I recall, growing up, she never cursed at me. I hadn't realized that until I read Dr. Patton's article about that one guy in particular who said that his mother would curse at him the way she did. I thought, damn, that's interesting. All the time growing up, I got beat. I was beat and beat viciously, I would say. But during none of that, my mother never cursed at me. She never called me those names that guy said his mother called him. She never used those words on me that guy said his mother used on him. Never. Never. But reflect on that in a real sense. And I would just say, although I was beat like most children are, you know, that gave to me another perspective on my own mother. She's gone now, let her rest in peace. But that gave me a different perspective on that, you know. Interesting. But again, that's what beating does. It elevates the mind. It does do that. It gives one thoughts to think about. It just produces thoughts. Or even, you know, brings up, you know, memory. And when that happens, that's because one was able to connect with what they were reading, that is, mentally connect with what they were reading. And if they can mentally connect with what they're reading, it's obvious that they have understood what they read. So, okay, so as I said, I'm not going to read that whole article, but again, it was interesting. And Dr. Patton's articles, they are on the internet. So those of you who might want to read any of her articles, they are well worth the read. And one thing about Dr. Patton that I would say, and the reason why I like reading her articles, and she's been a few times on television, and therefore I can say why the reason why I like listening to her, is because in a real sense, in reference to the condition of African Americans in this country, she talks about the issue from within a different paradigm from which it is traditionally spoken of. And I like that in particular, because in a real sense, in this situation, we need to see what's going on from a different paradigm, from a different perspective. But yes, I would just put it like that, because right now what we have basically people talking about the situation that we, that is black people, find ourselves in this country. We have people, intelligent people, well, not necessarily intelligent, but I'll say educated people, talking about it from within the same perspective, from within the same paradigm that it has been spoken of and about for so long. It's like going around in a circle. And like me, I'm the kind of person, when I read these people's thoughts about what's taking place within black areas, within urban environments, I think, but damn, I've read that before. This person didn't say it, but I read that from somebody who lived in the 1960s, in the 1940s. This has been written before. But now this person in 2015, this person is just writing about it from a 2015 perspective. But damn, hasn't a damn thing changed? So what they're writing is the same thing that has been written about 25, 35, 50, 60, 70, 100 years ago. And it's like rehashing the same old thoughts, a rehashing of the same old thoughts. Well, come on, that's enough of that. But again, Dr. Patton, she's different. She's different. She's fresh. Her thought pattern, in my opinion, is fresh. Definitely so. So moving right along. So now I'm going to go on into the well, again, I'm going to ask Martin, are you there? I guess Martin just dropped off. Well, maybe his situation caused him to have to drop off because, well, it's a long story, but his illness. But at least he came on tonight, people. So, you know, big ups to Martin for having dropped in on us. Okay. So, well, basically, I want to start from this article here from the negative feedback that is being garnered by the Black Lives Matter movement as of late. And because of the police people who are being killed. But first off, I mean, we have to realize, or one should realize, that it's just not because of the Black Lives Matter movement that police officers are being killed. Police officers are always killed. And I don't mean to say that in general sense. Am I saying that right? But like, more so what I'm trying to say here is that police officers, based upon the nature of their job that they do, this is an inherent risk in what they do. I mean, because, you know, you have some real vicious people out here in society. And I could even say that perhaps initially, that's why jails and prisons and policing came into being, to keep the general public safe from these predatory individuals, predatory in whatever sense, or predatory because they just have no sense, period. So, again, that's just a nature, that's just, you know, something that's inherent with the job that they do. And as we know, if we do know to say, I mean, God bless those people who take it upon themselves to become police persons, be they men or women. I mean, big ups to them who do take on that role. I almost wanted to say take on that responsibility, but it's kind of hard to use that word in the light of the way police respond in urban communities, in communities where Black people live or reside. It's kind of hard to throw that word, take on that responsibility. It's kind of hard to use that word. But anyway, because of the death of some police persons, you have those people now, because the Black Lives Matter movement is gaining momentum and people are starting to listen, and even police organizations are beginning to feel the effects of this organized power, they're not liking it. And it ought to be wondered by those who don't wonder, why do police officials see this movement as negative? But in my thinking, again, I shouldn't use that word or that phrase so generally, because no doubt it's not all police people who see this movement as a negative. I would more so think that it's only those in police structures who are the kind of police person the Black Lives Matter movement has come up about or because of. So I guess those kind of police people would see this movement as a negative, because it's curbing, how can I put it, more so it's having the effect of curbing or checking their violent prone behavior. That's what I would say to that. Well, anyway, we have people who are not police. And I would just call these people, if they're Caucasian, primarily racist, and if they're Black, just ignorant. Both those statements can apply to both those people. But I have this article here that's talking about, it says that a Fox News guest calls Black Lives Matter a criminal organization. And then this guy says that people are drunk on rights in this country, which I would disagree with that. Then it goes further to say that while guest hosting Fox News, The Five, some show I guess on Fox News called The Five, some guy named Tom Shalhoub, denounced the Black Lives Matter movement as organized criminals whose protests should be stopped and whose leaders should be arrested. And again, he's coming out saying that because of the police people who have been being killed recently. But as I said also earlier, I mean, it's just not now that police persons have been being killed. I mean, it's unfortunate that anybody is killed. I think like that also. But anyway, this guy goes further to say that this is a violent group. Violent where? I have to throw that in there. But he says this is a violent group. I think it's time to shut them down, and the federal government, and the federal government's not going to do it. I think the state governors should go in when there's protest and shut them down. People are drunk on rights in this country. These people are violent. It's horrible, and I think authorities should go in there and do whatever they have to. I mean, this is like a criminal organization. I think it's time to arrest these leaders because they're threatening people, and they're threatening, and they're causing violence. And it goes further to say that his sentiments echo those of Fox News host Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who acts on Fox and Friends. That's another Fox News show and another show I don't watch. He says who acts on Fox and Friends why the Black Lives Matter movement has been categorized as a hate group. Can you imagine that? I mean, people actually, you know, saying stuff like that. It's just amazing. But again, it's understandable. It's unfortunate that these people are saying stuff like that. It's most unfortunate. And what's even more unfortunate is that there are those of us who do understand this. It's depressing even that people can actually get up and say stuff like that and think that they're speaking truthfully or correctly. Just outrageous, outrageous. Then I got an article here. No, I won't go to that article right now, but this article here, it says, because there's another article that I wanted to have read up about something that's to take place in New York tomorrow, but I guess I might bring that up next week. Anyway, there was another situation. I had spoken last week about this Darren Goforth. It says thousands of people in Houston, Texas, they were honoring this Texas deputy, Darren Goforth, who was gunned down at a gas station last month. Organizers said the theme of the march was Police Lives Matter, with marchers wearing blue shirts and carrying signs that said love one another in memory of Deputy Goforth and United We Go Forth. Interesting. But, you know, also what I remember also having heard the article that I just read about that comedian talking the way he was talking, and Elizabeth Hasselbeck, if that was her name. I mean, those people talking like that, I mean, those are the ones who like to speak of the silent majority, you know, who should come stand with police people. The silent majority, they call these people who are not as of yet standing up in support of police people. But at the same time, they miss a certain portion of this equation about how police are still killing, maiming, jailing black people unjustly. This article here goes further to say that the marcher's message reflects the strong response that Deputy Goforth's death has had in the law enforcement community. Goforth, who was white, was in uniform and gassing up his patrol car when he was killed. Police have charged Shannon J. Miles, a local black man, with capital murder. And it goes further to say that, and while the motive remains unclear, Harris County Sheriff Ron Hickman has suggested that the slaying could have been influenced by the rising national tension over police treatment of the black community. And as people have said, there is no proof of that. It's not known why that black guy killed that deputy. It's not known, or if it is, it's not being told, if that black guy and that deputy had some previous run-ins, negative for that black guy. It's not known, or it hasn't been told, if that is the case. And if that is the case, it's only obvious that that black guy thought, well, there he is, I'm going to get him. But then again, I mean, a lot of variables are involved with that. A lot of variables are involved with that. But anyway, this sheriff is just going to automatically attribute that deputy's death to the Black Lives Matter movement, which is false reasoning, for lack of a better word or term. Because again, there's no proof. There's no proof that this guy ever even participated in a Black Lives Matter setting, protest. It's not even known that if he's even heard of the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, anyway, so this article goes on to say that this sheriff went on to say that we've heard Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. Well, cops' lives matter too. That's what this sheriff Hickman had said. But the thing is, though, nobody ever said that all lives don't matter. And hence, no one ever said that police lives don't matter. All that has been said is black lives matter. And basically, that's only said because to people who do use this frame, it's been shown that these cops who do what they do to these cops, black lives don't matter. That can be refuted, but it's a false refutation. For anybody who knows, they know that such a refutation would be false. But again, that goes back to that oft-repeated upcoming phrase, perception is reality. And the only question there can be, I mean, like, what is their perception on reality that they see or don't see what they see and or don't see? But again, that's why I had wanted to go into that topic, denial, no doubt, which is actually, I'm not going to get there. Anyway, so it goes further to say that the statement has resonated with supporters of law enforcement, that is, cops lives matter. You see, with law enforcement, the phrase cops lives matter resonates. And by the same token, with people who are against the slogan Black Lives Matter, the slogan All Lives Matter resonates with them. But somehow, to the people who use the reframe cops lives matter, Black Lives Matter somehow is negative. To the people who use the reframe All Lives Matter, to those people, Black Lives Matter is a negative. I mean, really, there's something, you know, mental and or psychological about that. It really is. And then the article goes further to say that the solution is first to be just as outraged at this deputy's killing as we collectively were when Freddie Gray or Eric Garner died. But in a real sense, the only people who were really collectively outraged about the killing of Freddie Gray or Eric Garner were black people, principally. Sure, there were some white people and others who were there with black people protesting those situations. But collectively, I mean, this writer, I guess he's taking what they call, poetic license to just say what he's saying when he says that outrage at this deputy's killing. No. The solution is first to be just as outraged at this deputy's killing as we collectively were when Freddie Gray or Eric Garner died. There was no collectivity of outrage in Freddie Gray or Eric Garner's death. If that was the case with Eric Garner, if there was this collective outrage, as the writer of this article is insinuating, those police people, all of them, would have been charged with some crime. But they weren't. So where was the collective outrage? Oh, boy. And the article goes further to say that violence is out of control. And I agree with the sheriff that hashtag lives matter. It's time to drop any other descriptive adjectives. Journalists' lives matter. I guess it's journalists threw that in there. Journalists' lives matter. Black lives matter. Police lives matter. Every single life matters. But again, why throw all that in there? Black lives matter. The people who are a part of the Black Lives Matter movement, they never were disparaging about any lives. They just said Black Lives Matter. And more so than not, they are more so willing to honor all lives anyway. But that's not the issue, all lives. But again,